Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be looking at the final run-through on this, but hopefully it's not the final for your life or our lives, because these commandments are awesome. Let me start with this statement. God knows what is good and what is bad for us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Second question. So how do we know what his plan is? Do we just kind of sit around and sing kumbaya and say, this seems like a good way to honor God? The reality is we've got to get into God's word to know what God's plan is, with the help of God's Spirit speaking into our lives in a community of faith, so that in that gathering, we can begin to get this understanding, what is God's purpose for our lives? He gave us his word to save us from the pain and suffering that our wrong choices, which, by the way, are called sins, what they bring into our lives. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave them to his people so that we would know how to relate to him and how to relate to others. You got that? So we know how to relate to him and how to relate to others. Jesus summarized the heart of the commandments by saying this in Matthew 22. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." You see, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to teach what God intended by the commandments. Never mind, I got this later in notes. I'll come back to it. I got to remember, follow your notes. Paul wrote in Romans 7 and a little bit, verse 12 and a little bit from verse 14, "The law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." And then in verse 14 he said, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Now, what Paul was saying here, and notice he said, "And we know the commandment is holy." Because in Paul's mind, and I would suggest the Holy Spirit's mind, you can't separate the Ten Commandments. They all belong together. It's not a commandment and 10 of them in a line. It's one commandment, even though sometimes we refer to as commandments. It's one commandment that if you break one part of it, you break it all. And here's the crazy thing. If you're able to actually keep the spiritual part of one of them, you actually end up keeping them all. Because it's all, they're all tied together. And Jesus came to show that, because what people would do is have a tendency to say, "Well, I've got 9 out of 10, that's an A minus." But Paul was really clear, or James actually was really clear, you break one and you have an F. You have to either all 10 or not at all. And it exposes the weakness of humanity. And Paul also would say, how could the natural fleshly man learn to obey God's holy spiritual law? He goes through that tennis match in Romans chapter 7. You know, things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the very things I find myself doing. And he gets towards the end of the chapter and he says, "What a wretched man I am." Now, today's English version says, "What a dirtbag I am. Who can save me from this mess?" And then Paul concludes it, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So he said there is an answer to the incredible calling of the commandments and the purity of having a right relationship with God and a right relationship with one another, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus not only paid our death penalty for us, he also showed us how to live, and he provides us through his Holy Spirit the help to follow God's way, which is the way of love. Notice, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. But not love as we think about love, but love as God has demonstrated to you and me. In order to be different, in order to move in the direction of honoring God with our lives, there's one major thing that has to happen. We have to want to be different. If you are complacent in your mediocrity, chances are you're missing what salvation is all about. God never intended for you and me to get a life insurance, non-burning policy and then just go on with our life. He intended for the gospel to impact us and to change us, as he said through Paul in 2 Corinthians. I'll get there. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Paul wrote in chapter 13 of Romans, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there are any other commandments, it's summed up in the saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Another statement I want you to hear. God inspired and enabled love is the spiritual intent of the law. The real problem is not the law. How many of you would like to blame the law? I was only speeding because those troopers put the wrong speed on the sign. Right? They did not understand what was done back when cars, when 55 miles an hour was a goal, not a limit. And now my car will zoom. It is just not practically contemporary right to have to drive that speed when my car will do so much better. Would you buy that, John? He'd get points for creativity, which means you get, instead of getting 2 points, you're going to get 4. Our flesh is weak. That's the problem. It's not the law. You ever noticed how quickly we find something to blame? But through the Holy Spirit, God can help us overcome our weakness of the flesh by writing his law on our hearts. And he does that as we open the Word of God and through the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to wash over our life with the Word and to bring us clean and pure in his sight. It's a powerful, powerful thing. James compared the law to a mirror. And just looking in the mirror or knowing about the law is not enough. We must let God help us change. You know what James says? It's kind of like coming, looking in the mirror, seeing yourself, walking away and forgetting what you look like. Well, what the law does when we look in the mirror, it tells us what we're supposed to look like. And then if we turn and walk away from that, we act as if we never saw the reflection that God desires in our life. We must let God help us to change, and then by his grace and mercy, show that change to other people so they can know his love as well. Some people tend to look at God's law as bondage, a heavy burden. They want to believe that God sent Jesus to remove it. But the Bible shows us that the spiritual law of God is a law of liberty. John said, his commandments are not burdensome. The psalmist wrote, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, whose delights greatly in his commandments. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is keeping of the commandments of God. Isn't that interesting? Because we like to write the commandments off, don't we? But listen to what Paul said. It's not that outward symbolism of circumcision or being spiritual and saying, I don't really have to be circumcised to be right with God. That means nothing. What matters is a changed life, a life that is committed to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ and reflect his nature to the lives of people around us. Walking in that love. God's spiritual law remains a framework for our moral, God-honoring life. It is a guide for us even today. But hear this. No amount of law keeping can ever remove my past sin or pay the penalty. Law was never intended to eradicate my sin. The only way it's ever been possible to have your sin forgiven was through the shedding of blood, right? As pictured in the Old Testament through the sacrifice of unblemished and pure animals, which would later symbolize would show in the unblemished, pure Son of God, whose blood was shed to take the place of my blood being shed, and I would stand corrected. That's the only way. We can only be made right with God by the gracious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do will ever earn our forgiveness, past, present, and future. You need to hear that. You will never right yourself with God. It's only in trusting and following that you can ever do anything that's actually pleasing to Him. That was entertaining. He's at it again. Nothing we can do can earn forgiveness, but after seeing how horrible sin is, seeing how good and loving God is, and seeing how much He hates sin, the only correct response is to do what Jesus told the woman caught in adultery. Go. From now on, sin no more. Do you hear what the law does? The law shows us what is right. It shows us we're unable to be righteous ourselves, but through that powerful blood of Jesus Christ, our lives are washed white as snow. And therefore, since we see the ugliness of sin, for the first time we see it like God sees it, we turn from that sin, and instead of saying, we say, I don't want this anymore, instead I want Jesus, and we begin to follow Him. With that context, let me read these verses again, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousands to whom those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Wow. Now, the law and the prophets, everything that is written in the law, all the ones that follow in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and all of those are all based on these 10. They help you to understand how you do it. Okay? So God didn't just do this. He gave some explanation on how to do it. That's when, so the law included not only 10 commandments, but all the explanations of the 10 commandments. The prophets, you know what the prophets did? The prophets addressed the people of God when the people of God forgot the commandments of God. And they spoke from God to the people, and then they spoke from the people back to God. Pretty cool, right? So all of the law and prophets is summed up in this. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. All of the law says you need to love God and love your neighbor. And the prophet said, let me explain to you where we mess up. Guys ever mess up? We do, right? Real quickly, and you're not going to believe I can do it this quick. You ready? Love God. You don't get to trust any other God. You only have one. You can't reduce God by making images or limiting him by our own imaginations. No misusing his name and remembering to rest. That means to cease your activities of providing for yourself and trust him. It's not about taking a nap. The Sabbath is not about a nap. It's about trusting God and putting our life in his hands. Transition. Honor your parents and be honorable as parents. The home is the key to the kingdom of God. In it, people build in dynamic relationships and they live them out and show other people what the power of God can do. Love your neighbor. No murdering, adultery, stealing, bearing false words against one another, and no coveting. Not very complicated. Now, if you missed those sermons, you should go listen to them on podcasts. They're available in much more detail, which I'm not going to do this morning. But I have some concluding statements that I want to talk about, and I move along pretty good. Watch this, guys. Since the New Testament applied these commandments with their spiritual application, which goes beyond our actions to the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Most of the time when we speak about the spirit of the law, we talk and we soften the law by applying good intentions. You know what God says? Good intentions don't count. The spiritual application of the law says not only is it your actions, it's what you think about. You don't have to actually commit adultery to be guilty in the eyes of God for adultery. You don't actually have to steal to be guilty in the eyes of God for stealing. You don't actually have to kill in the eyes of God to be a murderer. All you have to do is think about you wish somebody was removed from the face of the earth, and in God's eyes, you're a murderer. You can honor God with your lips, but your heart can be far from him, and you have violated several of the first few commands. Let me tell you this. Jesus didn't soften the commands. He intensified them. If you look back at Israel and you saw how impossible it was to do what God commanded them to do, it's even more impossible to do what Jesus said without a changed heart and life, that it's only available through Jesus. Let me just say this. If you are seeking to please God by doing outward things, it's a disgusting sacrifice to God. Because if your heart is not lined up with your actions, it's just a bald-faced lie. Parents, how many of us like it when our kids lie to us? Can you think of something more insulting than your kids devaluing you and lying to your face? And so when we do it, God is really concerned. The intensity that's going on here is really intense. He didn't weaken the commandments. He intensified them drastically to show that the only possible way to live right with God was through the grace and the mercy available to us in Jesus Christ. It is spiritually impossible to please God without Jesus. I hope you hear that. Our only hope is that God's mercy, the removing from me the penalty I deserve, and his grace giving me the freedom and life found in salvation through Jesus Christ, even as born-again believers, will never, ever fully fulfill God's law. We still depend on his mercy and grace every day, as he forgives our sins and he empowers us to walk with him. You know, I only have two pages of notes, and I'm at the bottom two sentences of the second page. Has God addressed any area in your life through his commandments that he's found lacking? As we've gone through this, is there some area, the things I say, the thoughts I allow to the passions and desires of my heart, the things that I pursue, the way I talk about God, the way I talk to God. Are there one or more of the commandments where you know he wants to bring change? Remember what James says. Don't merely listen to the word so as to deceive yourself. You got to do what it says. Not simply enough to recognize that these are commands from God. Not simply enough to recognize that I fall short of these commands. It's what we do when we find out we are short that makes all the difference. For God wants us to humbly come to him and ask him for the forgiveness and cleansing that comes because of Jesus. So the question is, will you this morning, by God's grace and God's mercy, open your hearts and lives to the life-changing power of God? Why? Why should we do that? If I've been, my sins have been paid for, past, present, and future, all by the blood of Jesus Christ, why does it make a difference whether I seek that my life honors him in everything I do? What is the big deal? Let me just say this. If you actually thought that question, shame on you, because that just shows self-centeredness. Do you know why it matters? Not only for my sake of becoming like Christ, but you know what's all around us? People who are watching. People who don't have a relationship with God, who if they don't see it in you and me, how will they ever know what God can do? If you are here and you are a believer, if you think about it, you can look in your past and there are people that God used their lives to influence you to actually begin to believe that there's a God. That believe not only that there is a God, but he's a God who loves. Not only is he a God who loves, but he's a God who can love me. And there's a God, and he's not only a God who loves me, but he can change my life. And as you saw that worked out in the life of someone else, it prompted you to be crazy enough to take him up at his challenge. That if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When you think about it, it's really potent, the effect that we can have on other people's lives. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, he started out with this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, just in case you're wondering, all authority in heaven and earth has not been given to me. And it hadn't been given to you either. Who's it given to? Jesus, right? He said, now, because of that, you go and you make disciples. And then baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to do or to keep or practice all the things I taught you. Now listen to what he said. Our life is not a life of authority. Our life is a life of influence, right? You ever been guilty of parents, especially dads, we're really bad about this. Don't do what I'm doing. Do what I'm telling you to do. It's not very effective, is it? But our children can't get caught up in what they see us doing and get influenced by us. And that's the way we influence the life of others. If these commandments, which outline, give us that outline of what it means to know and to love God and to know and love others, if we don't take them to heart and allow the Word of God to wash over us and cleanse us and make us more and more a reflection of that reality, how are we going to have influence on the lives of other people? I'm going to give you a hard statement, okay? So brace yourself. I doubt very seriously you would come right out and say, I wish so-and-so would go to hell, right? Because if we know what hell is, you wouldn't wish that even on anybody. But listen, sometimes by our actions, we make the statement without words. Because God intends for your life and my life as we understand about loving him and loving people to be that influence to touch the hearts and lives of other people. That's what these commandments do. I have a gift for some of you today. I had fun explaining to our shop why I wanted them to do this. I better let Helen read it. What does that say?
I can't.
To it. It says to it. And what is this, a square? No, a circle. And a circle is what? It's round. This is a round to it. Some of us saying, I know my life needs to influence other people and I need to get around to it. I have one for you. On the other side, it says First Baptist Church. I had to make them small. I have some big old hunkering ones. I made them make them small so that they go in your pocket. Because you know what? When you leave this building, you go to restaurants, you need to get around to influencing other people. When you get up and go to your work tomorrow and you are around your coworkers, you need to get around to influencing them with the power of God and what it can do in their life. When you go home today with your family, you need to get around to being that godly believer who trusts God with all of this, their life, and let God influence somebody around you. You need around to it. You need to get around to it. And I've got a few. First one's from my pocket. Because you know what? Tomorrow morning, 6:55 a.m., and none of them will be tardy because they want free breakfast. There's going to be six students coming into that classroom, and we're going to work on making breakfast sandwiches to sell to students. I will have them for 1 hour and 5 minutes. Okay, that's a long time. I have 1 hour and 5 minutes tomorrow morning to influence their life. I need to get around to it and let God make a difference. Then second period comes, there's 14 in second period, there's 15 in third period, and there's 13 in fourth period. So you add that up and you know how many I have. I got to get around to influencing. Then you know what happens all day long? People come in, and I'm going to make a confession right now. They come in, Mr. Edwards, can I have a fork? You know what happens when they come and say, can I have a fork? This is not good, I'm confessing. Do you know where this fork comes from? Somebody buys this fork. The school district didn't do it. This is my classroom supplies that you're asking me. Well, how stupid is that? When I can get around to it. When I can say, this is not an inconvenience. This is an opportunity. This is a chance to love somebody and to display what it means to be kind. I need one of these because I have a tendency to get caught up in what I'm doing. Anybody else guilty of that? I tend to think that the task I'm doing is more important than people. How stupid is that? Or as Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does. I need to get around to it. This is going in my pocket. It will be in my pocket tomorrow morning when I go to school to remind me that my life is meant by God to be a life of influence, and the influence that He wants is the influence that comes into my life as I yield myself to Him and trust Him to fill my life with His love and share that love with other people. I don't get to dictate the terms to Him. You know, I hear all the time, I can worship God my own way. No, you can't. You can only worship God His way. I can go to heaven my way. No, there's only one way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. So I need His influence in my life, going to through my life to influence the lives of others. So if you are like me and you feel the need to get around to it, I have about 40 of them up here. You come get one. I'll be very unhappy if the bag's full. Because my suspicion is some of us need to get around to it. We get caught up in the moment and we forget that we have a life of influence. God wants to use our good times, our hard times, when I'm feeling down and when I'm feeling up, and when the sun is shining, when the rain is blowing, to touch the lives of other people as He influences into me and through to them. Okay? Now, that can happen in a minute. I want to take a few minutes, and I want you to share with me something you learned from the Ten Commandments study.